الحمد لله وكفى والصلاه والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا بني انها ان تك مثقال حبه من خردل فتكن في صخره او في السماوات او في الارض ياتي بها الله ان الله لطيف خبير يا بني اقم الصلاه وامر بالمعروف وانه عن المنكر واصبر على ما صابك ان ذلك من عزم الامور ولا تصعر خدك للناس ولا تمش في الارض مرحا ان الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور واقصد في مشيك واغضب من صوتك ان انكر الاصوات لصوت الحمير صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى امين يا رب العالمين. Now we are proceeding forward without any preliminaries. The next ayah of the third lesson of the selected course of study of the Quran is Ya bunayya innaha in taku misqala habbatin min khardalin. O my little son, even if it might be of the weight of a grain of mustard seed, fatakun fi sakra, and then though it might be in some rock, aw fi samawat, or in the skies, aw fi al-ard, or in the earth, ya'ti biha Allah. Allah will bring it forth. Inna Allah latifun khabir. Verily Allah is subtle or subtile, or the knower of the subtleties, and he is aware of everything. Now by the translation, the question must have a reason in your mind. What is it? Ya bunayya inna ha in taku. There is a pronoun, ha. But for what this pronoun has been used? In the text, the marja of the zamir, for what thing or person this pronoun has been used, is not been given. In Arabic grammar, it is called Zamir al-Shan or Zamir al-Qissa. I don't know whether there is any equivalent in English grammar to this Zamir al-Shan or Zamir al-Qissa. If it is there, at least I don't know it. So I have to just be contented with only quoting it, the Arabic term, Zamir al-Shan, innaha. This is used for something which is understood. As I told you, this type of this Quran is that it is oration, sermon. And in sermons and orations, many things which are understood between the speaker and the audience, they know it. They are not mentioned. And that's the beauty, literary beauty of that sermon. That's just understood. It is muzmar, it is mahzoof, it is understood, it is implied. So according to all the mufassireen, by this ha is meant أي سيئة أو حسنة. Oh my little son, whether it be a good deed or a bad deed, whether it's a good action or a bad action, whether it is something which is evil or something which is good. Now then add to it two things. Although it might be very small, very small, very small in your eyes, it may be very negligible. The good deed, the hasana, or the bad deed, that is the sayyah, although it might be very small. Now the smallest thing to which in those days a reference could be made was either zarra or habba. There was no knowledge of the atoms or the electrons or the protons at that time. So the smallest thing was zarra, or the smallest thing was habba. And habba also, the grain of wheat is quite big. A grain of gram is quite good. But mustard seed, very small. So the smallest thing possible that could be referred to in the times of the revelation of this Quran was habbatu khardalin aw zarra, as Quran uses that word also. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. So if it is the zarra, if it is khair, everybody would see it. If it is مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ, even if it is the shar, it is evil, and it is equal to a zarra, he will see it. So now, oh my beaten dear son, human actions, human deeds, whether they are good or evil, and even if they are so small, as if like a mustard, a grain of a mustard seed. And the second thing, and whether it might be, although it might be in some rock, hidden in some rock, or in the skies, or in the earth, يَعْتَ بِهَ اللَّهِ, Allah will bring it forth. Human deeds will not go unaccounted, howsoever small they might be, and wherever they might be. All your deeds, all your actions. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. The same thing was said by Hazrat Luqman to his son. And because Allah is Latif, Latif has two meanings. One who is himself a sublime and subtile, and who knows all subtleties. And Khabir, who is Ba-Khabar, who knows everything, who is aware of everything. So nothing is outside the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All your actions, all your deeds, howsoever small they may be, wheresoever they might have been committed, maybe in the skies, in the heavens, in the earth, maybe somewhere, but anywhere, but they will be brought forth on the day of judgment. Now actually this is the second part. As we have seen, this ruku, as we call it, or this second section of Surah Al-Luqman, consists of 8 ayat. In the first 4, only one ayah was from the sermons of Hazrat Luqman. The rest was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now all the 4 remaining ayat, they are from the sermons of Hazrat Luqman, As-salamu alayhi. And now the second sermon here comes is, that human actions will not go unrewarded, unaccounted. Now I have to discuss what's the relationship, logical relationship, between those fundamentals of Quranic hikmah and this concept that all the human deeds and actions will be rewarded, will be accounted for. Now let us see, it's the demand of the nature, and everybody feels it, if he peeps within his own nature, within his own heart, that every human soul has been bestowed with the discrimination and differentiation between evil and good. Man knows by his very nature what is good, what is evil. He need not be taught. To speak the truth is good. To tell a lie is evil. Everybody knows it. That is why it's universal truth. All religions, all systems of ethics, all philosophies, everywhere in the world, you won't find any single person who would say that telling the truth is evil and telling a lie is some virtuous thing. These are the universal truths. To fulfill an agreement and promise is good. And to go back on your words is evil. It's known and accepted throughout. All humanity knows it, all humanity accepts it. To have good behavior with your neighbors is good. To be perturbing to your neighbors is bad. Everybody would accept. So actually the basic ethical values are known to human nature. Every man knows it by his very nature. And that has been given by Quran in the last, you know, part of the Quran. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. This human nature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has finished it, has produced it, has developed it. And then He has put in it, through ilham, through sort of inspiration, the fujur and taqwa. Every human mind, every human soul knows what is good, what is bad, what is evil, what is good. Now, if this is true, now intellect demands something, and intellect knows that nothing in this universe is without any purpose. Everything has a purpose. Even the blade of a grass is not useless or purposeless. It's a part of the whole scheme of things. It's playing its own part. Every leaf of a tree has a role to play. So everything is purposeful in this universe. And everything has some result. Now we find in this world that when the rule of the law should be that should beget good and evil should beget evil. But we find that there are people who are doing good to others, but they themselves, maybe they are going hungry. They are being wronged. A person who is serving humanity and he is here is not respected. A person who is telling a lie, who is exploiting others, he has the riches. People who are doing bad for humanity, they know, earn names and fames. They attain power, authority. So actually the rule should be, good should come out of good and evil should come out of evil. If somebody is doing good, he should be rewarded with good results and rewards in this world. And if somebody is doing something bad, there should be punishment to him. It should come. And it is not so. We are finding here that evil is prospering. You have no scruples in life, you can add to your wealth. You can accumulate money, you can accumulate wealth if you have no scruples. If your scruples, any principles, you don't want to cheat anybody, you don't want to deceive anybody, maybe having 2 square meals a day might become difficult for you in this world. If you want to tell truth, maybe your friends get offended. They don't want to listen to the truth. The truth is always bitter. They like that you should tell lies in their faces. So this is the condition of this world. The moral law is not effective in this world. Only the physical law is effective. Physical law is giving its result. If you hold a live cinder in your hand or your fingers will burn. But if you are told a lie, nothing happens to your tongue. It is as it was. If you have usurped money from others and you have used it, there's no harm coming to you. But you know, if you take a poison, you die. So physical laws, regarding the physical laws, this world is complete. Regarding the moral law, this is incomplete. The result is not coming out as it ought to come out. You know, we have a saying in Persian, Gandum as gandum biroyad, jaw se jaw. From wheat you get wheat, from barley you get barley. But here neki or virtue is not giving you any good rewards in this world. And if you are, if you have no scruples and you are earning money by hook or by crook, by halal or haram, by means which are permissible, by means which are not permissible, by breaking all the ethical laws, well, you are happy here, you have the riches, you are enjoying life. So that means this world is complete. There should be another life. There should be another world when the natural moral law should bring about the necessary results. So the people who have done good here must be rewarded fully. And people who have lived here immoral lives must be punished. And this punishment should be proportionate to the evil that they have been doing. Let me give you another example. In this world, because we have organized a society, we try to compensate this shortcoming of this world. If somebody has stolen something from you, now we have the police, we have the courts, he must be brought in the book, there must be a court where his case should be listened, then he should be sentenced to some sort of imprisonment. What is it for? It is for rewarding him for his bad deed in this world. Somebody has killed somebody. Now you must arrest him, bring him to the book, Now you will either you will hang him, as we have the capital punishment in other countries. I don't know whether you have it here or not. You hang him. But now just think about a person who is old, 78 years old. He has killed a young person, young man. That person has had all the things that he could have in his life. All his children have grown up. And this person whom he has killed was a young person. A young woman has been widowed. Maybe very small children. They have been orphaned. Now even if you hang this person, 80 years old person, has he got the punishment, the due punishment that he should have got? Because the crime that he has committed is much greater. The infliction that he has done to that family, you cannot reward him with a punishment which is proportionate to the infliction that he has done to that family. A young woman widowed, it's small children, and they have been orphaned. Now they are going without the cover and patronage of father. Maybe they go to wrong lines, and their upbringing is not correct. And that is actually again going to harm this society. Because if those people go astray, those young the children, it's a harm to the whole society. But you can't give proportionate punishment to that person in this world. So these are the two examples which you need one to think and to the conclusion that this world, this life is incomplete, and there must be some place, some second life, some second world, where there should be complete reward of all the good as well as the evil deeds. Take for example the case of Hitler, one person, and he caused havoc and damage to full continent, the European continent, the Asian continent. Hundreds and thousands of people died, maimed. Somebody, his leg has been cut off, chopped off, and somebody has lost his arm, and somebody something else. And all these things due to one person. Can you give him the due punishment that he deserves? Even if every single cell of his body was separated by a forceps, this punishment would not have been sufficient for and proportionate to his crime, to the infliction that he has made to the whole of humanity. And now the opposite is the case of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He devoted all his life for the service of humanity. He didn't even have two square meals a day, daily. For several days, the hearths of his home went without any fire. And he devoted all time. Everybody would understand and accept one of the most intelligent and capable persons of human race. Rather, if you take the testimony of Dr. Michael Hart, the greatest man ever came to this earth. But what did he do for himself? What did he get out of this world? Did he have any luxuries? Any comforts of life? Nothing. He devoted everything for humanity. Can the whole humanity give him the reward that he deserves? No. Only hereafter. He can be rewarded only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. Because the laws which will be governing that world will be different. You won't die now. Hitler won't be able to die now. He will keep alive and getting all the punishment that is due to him. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also will not die. He will be getting the reward of all the deeds that he did for the service of the humanity. So that is actually the philosophy, that is the wisdom, that is the hikmah, that proves that there should be another world, another life, in which all the human deeds, whether good or bad, must be rewarded fully, must be repaid in full. And that is actually the hikmah that Luqman Hakim had, and he is transferring it to his son. Oh, my little son. يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير. Human deeds and actions cannot go unrewarded. They will be rewarded howsoever small they might be and wheresoever they might have been committed. Anywhere in the whole of universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them, gather them, and then you will have the accountability of the Day of Judgment, and then you will be rewarded. This is the second advice. Now these two things go to make, as I told you, these are the two articles of faith. Iman billah, shukr lillah, and don't do any shirk billah. And second is this, ma'ad, or you can call, the qanun majazat amal. This is the law that the human deeds, whether evil or good, will be rewarded. This is the second sermon that Luqman gave to his son. Now what's the third one? يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Oh my dear little son, establish prayer. I would prefer the translation, keep the prayer established. Established prayer gives you a sense that something is established once. Now keep it. Keep it established. Established prayer is not sufficient. It doesn't give you the whole idea. Keep it established. Continue it. It should be a part and parcel of your life. A continuous process. Aqim as-salah. Wa'amur bil-ma'ruf wa'anhanil munkar. And enjoin others to whatever is ma'ruf. And forbid others from whatever is munkar. I will explain these two terms also shortly. Now first of all, note the point. As I told you in Ayat al-Birr, two things were discussed first. Number one, Iman. And number two, Aatul Maala ala hubbihi zabil qurba wal yatama wal masakeen. And then as-salah and as-zakah. What was the purpose of as-salah? To keep the Iman alive. To keep it living, pulsating. That salah actually, it sustains and maintains the level of Iman. And what is zakah? To maintain this urge and this capability of spending your wealth. So you must at least give zakah so that you can be able to give more also. That is the same logical connection here. First of all, there was Iman billah, shukr lillah, anishkur lillah, and don't commit any shirk with Allah. And now to have a continuous contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aqim as-salah. You must establish prayer. What is prayer? To have a continuous, a contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Renew your contact. 5 times a day. But this is the salah of Islam. Now what was the form of salah that Hazrat Luqman is referring? We can't say. The salah in Bani Israel had a different shape. The salah in Islam has a different shape and different details. 5 times a day and so on. But what is essentially salah? Salah is a contact. Your mental connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should maintain. It should be preserved. And that is salah. So actually, any form of salah can be there. Any form of salah could be there. We can't say what form of salah was there, which to which Luqman is referring in these words of his. But what is essential salah? Have a contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maintain a contact. And keep renewing your contact. Because the next lesson will be Surah Fatiha, and we shall be discussing this matter inshallah in detail in Surah Al-Fatiha. So there I shall give into detail. But here the thing that I want, the point that I want to make is that this is the connection between Iman Billah and Salah. And because the second thing was rewarding of the actions. Good actions, good reward for the good deeds, and bad punishment for the bad deeds. So here the second thing is, وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You enjoin whatever is ma'roof. What is ma'roof? Ma'roof is that which is generally known to be good. Ma'roof, something which is recognized. Ma'roof. Munkar, which you don't recognize. What does it mean? That human nature recognizes good. And it refrains from something evil. This is ingrained in human nature, and that is what I said. Human nature has the knowledge of evil and good. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. So neki, bir, virtue, good, this is known thing. Human nature is attracted towards it. And human nature refrains from, hates something which is evil. And that is munkar. Munkar is something that is not liked, which is very unpleasant. That is why the last ayah of this passage, this ruku, ankar al aswat ila sawtul hamir. Ankar. Ankar is for munkar. The most unpleasant voice is the voice of the braying of ass. So ankar, this is munkar. This is not pleased, which is not pleasant, with which you are not pleased, which you don't like. So actually, this is a vote of confidence for the human nature, that we have a confidence in human nature. Human nature likes good and dislikes evil. Maybe he is committing something evil, but even then his own conscience would be telling him that you are doing something wrong. You ought not to do it. You shouldn't have done it. Because human nature, the conscience, the zameer that we have within us, which Quran says, "An-nafsul lawwama," even if you are doing something wrong, you are telling lies, and you say, "Why? I have to do it. Because there is no alternative with me. I have to go for this thing. Although I know it's bad, it's not correct, it's haram, I'm doing it." But still, you know, your heart pricks you, your conscience pricks you, something within you is saying that you are doing something wrong. What does it mean? That human nature knows what is good, what is evil. Number two, human nature loves good and hates evil. It did good, is pleasant and acceptable to human nature, while evil is not acceptable. It is unpleasant to human nature. That is why Quran uses these words, ma'roof and munkar. Not good and evil. There could be the wordings of khair and shar. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. So khair and shar are also the words of Arabic language. And then they have been used in Quran. But you know, the term that Quran has adopted and coined is amr bil ma'roof. Whatever is known to the human nature, that it is good. And from whatever human nature refrains, that is munkar. وَأَمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَىٰ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Now this would be the biggest service to humanity. This is the most important point that I want to make. We have a concept of public service, service to humanity. If you feed the hungry, you are doing service for humanity. If you are looking after the sick person, arranging for treatment and so on, this is also public service. But the biggest public service would be for that person who believes in the hereafter, who knows that the life of hereafter is eternal. This life is going to end. Maybe it ends today, maybe it ends tomorrow. It's the most uncertain thing, most uncertain. Nobody can be certain that he will be living for any 2 years or two more or 1 year or even maybe tomorrow. Some one of us is not able to see the sun rising tomorrow. It's just possible. Most uncertain. But that life which is eternal, everlasting. Now if a person is going towards hell, he is on the wrong path. What does it mean? He is going to be doomed. Doomed forever. To be thrown into the fire of hell. And you are not trying to bring him to the right path. So you are very cruel to him. You are only caring for his hunger. You are caring only for some disease, for some ailment, for some illness that he has here. That illness, you know, it might be a temporary thing. Or even if he dies out of that illness, what is it? He has to die anyhow. Maybe after a few days or after a few months or a few years. But that life is eternal. So actually, if one believes in the life hereafter, then the biggest service to humanity becomes what? Call people towards the path of Allah. And join them, whatever is good and whatever is right, whatever is just, whatever will lead him to the paradise, to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And forbid him from whatever is wrong, whatever is unjust, whatever is taking him towards the hell, fire of hell, towards the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually, a healthy person, a person who is the well-wisher of humanity, the first thing that he should do is, the first and foremost duty, it becomes that he should call people toward the right path. وَأَمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَىٰ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. This is the biggest service that you can do to the humanity. And then you have to start with your own kith and kin. First of all, your own brothers, your own sons and daughters, your own parents, your own family. The injunctions and orders and commands came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَأَنْزُرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. قُوْ أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Try to save yourself and your families from the fire of hell. Try to save them. How to save them? Call them towards the right path. Call them towards Iman, towards Amal-e-Saleh. Call them towards this way, this road to salvation. So actually that is the biggest service to humanity. يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَى عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. Now as I referred yesterday, this is one of the most fundamental terms of the Quran. أَمْرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ نَهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. First of all, you must note, always in the Quran you will find both these things together. At least 9 places in Quran where this term appears as an organic whole. You can't separate. أَمْرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ يَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. In the same way, this is the ayat number 104 of Surah Ali Imran. In ayat number 110, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Then when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going towards Medina, he was making hijrah. During this journey was revealed certain ayat of Surah Al-Hajj. And those ayat include, وَالَّذِينَ إِذْ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالَّذِينَ إِذْ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَمُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. So it's an amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. It's one thing. Enjoin whatever is correct, whatever is just, whatever is right. And forbid from whatever is wrong, from whatever is bad, from whatever is unjust. If you are going and saying sermons also only for good things, do this, do this, do this, and you are not forbidding people from whatever is wrong, you are doing half work. Half truth is the biggest falsehood. Truth should be total truth. Always in a court of justice, when some witness has to appear, he says, I'll say the truth and the whole truth. This should be the whole truth, not the half truth. So actually, amr bil ma'roof, and necessarily, the other side of this should be nahi anil munkar. Both should go hand in hand. Then we have in a hadith 3 levels of nahi anil munkar. There is a famous hadith which has been included by Imam Muslim rahimahullah in his Sahih, and which has been narrated by Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. According to this hadith, the Prophet has been reported to have said, مَنْ رَا مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضَعْفُ الْإِيمَانِ. Whosoever amongst you sees and observes something which is wrong, which is unjust, which is munkar, it is his duty, it is his farz that he should change it, stop it, with force, بِيَدِهِ, with his hands. And these hands actually, they are allegorical for force and power. And if he can't do it, if he doesn't have the necessary strength to be able to do it, then with tongue. At least say to them, don't do it. Please don't do it. This is wrong. This is unjust. This is not fair. Whatever you are doing is will bring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stop it. Refrain from it. And even there might be some conditions that someone might may not have the courage even to say it out. So the last station is بِالْقَلْبِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. At least you should have some pain in your heart. You should feel it. Why is it happening? Why is this munkar? And how come I can't stop it? There should be some sorrow, some grief in your heart. And if that grief and sorrow is also not there, there's no iman. ذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. The Prophet said that this is the weakest point, weakest position of iman. You are seeing something which is wrong, which is munkar, which is haram, and you are not even feeling it. As Iqbal said, why nakami matai karma jata raha, karma ke dil se hisab se zaya jata raha. When this feeling is also gone, there's no grain even in a single grain of iman. Another hadith to the same effect is there in the same sahih of Imam Muslim rahimahullah, and it is from Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The same subject ends with the words, وَلَيْسَ وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ مَنَ الْإِيمَانِ حَبَّةُ خَرْدًا. Whosoever cannot even have this position, that he must hate something that is wrong, that is bad. He should have some pain in his heart that something wrong is being done. If this is not present even, the wordings are, now after that, it is not a grain of a seed of mustard remains of iman after that. فَلَيْسَ وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ حَبَّةُ خَرْدَلٍ. The same words which have been used in this part, this third lesson of ours. يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The same word has been used by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the end of that hadith also. فَلَيْسَ وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ حَبَّةُ خَرْدَلٍ. So there is no iman whatsoever. In the same way, this amr, although the general translation always you will find, to command good, to enjoin good, to order good, but amr is also for something which you persuade. If you are persuading someone to do something, it is also amr. If you are, you know, giving some mashwara, some advice to a person, that is also amr, according to literal meanings of this word. So there are levels of amr bil maruf. You persuade someone to do something. You, somehow or the other, you appeal to him to do something good. But if you have the authority, then you have to establish that good and that justice also. In the same way, Nahi Anil Munkar has three levels. If you have the authority, if you have the power, then you have to use the power and authority to eradicate evil. If you don't have the power and authority, then at least the persuasion, the appeal, with lisan, with tongue, you must say it out that this is wrong, please don't do it. So this is the duty of every person, every noble person, every person who wants to do some good to humanity at large. Ya bunayya, aqimis salah wa amur bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar. And now the last thing, wasbir ala ma asabak. And then have patience, bear with fortitude and steadfastness whatever comes to you. Now this tells us there's something inevitable, some relationship between amr bil maruf and nahy anil munkar, and then you have to have sabr. Because as you say generally, truth is always bitter. When you ask somebody to refrain from something which is evil, and he will resent, there will be resentment. Who are you? Who are you to say it to me? Mind your own business. And if there's something more important, if you are asking him something which is injurious for his interest, worldly interest, then he might retaliate. He might persecute you. If you are telling him something which is against his beliefs, don't believe in anybody else except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't commit shirk. Maybe he's offended. Then you are denying my gods. You are repudiating my gods. People, my forefathers believed in these things. And you say they are false, they are wrong. So what will happen to you? There will be persecution, verbal persecution, physical persecution. As you know, what was the quarrel? What was the dispute between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the people of Makkah? Was there any dispute of any land, piece of land? Any dispute about property? Any dispute about money? Any dispute about any some woman? Nothing of the sort. What was the dispute? The Prophet said, La ilaha illallah. These gods of yours are false. They have no reality. Don't worship anybody except Allah, anyone. No God, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now there was the turmoil. There was the persecution. There was the opposition. He was being tortured, he and his colleagues. The more physical torture was coming to the people who were not so strong, who didn't have that position or status in the society, the slaves. They were being beaten like anything. Hazrat Bilal, Hazrat Khabbab, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, what was being done to them? What happened to Hazrat Sumayya? What happened to Hazrat Yasir? Both tortured badly and martyred. So now, wasbir ala ma asabak. If you take to this path, if you take up the courage to say, this spade is spade, if you are ready to say, this is wrong, this is right, if you are taking upon yourself this mission of enjoining whatever is good and just to others and forbidding others from whatever is wrong and whatever is false, then be ready. Gird up your loins. Now be ready for the retaliation of the people. The evil doers, they might do harm to you. They might be persecuting you, either with their own tongue, verbal persecution. He is majnoon. He has gone crazy. He is power hungry. Inna hala shayun yurad. He wants something. He wants to become the leader of the community. and he has taken up all this thing only for the purpose of becoming a leader of the community. All these things were said to the prophets, to the Anbiya. So you have to take them, all these things, and to be steadfastness, to bear it with fortitude and patience. وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكْ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَصْمِ الْأُمُورِ. These things need courage, azimah. These things, they are not easy. It's not an easy-going mission or easy-going procedure. You have to have the courage, and you have to have up your lines and be ready for any eventuality. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَصْمِ الْأُمُورِ. And now the last two ayat we find. Just I said, what is hikmah? Hikmah is the maturity of human thought, human thinking, human intelligence, human intellect, under the guidance of nature, which is not polluted, which is not perverted. In the same way, human mature, human personality, it has some beauty of its own. And that beauty comes from humility. The higher Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes you up, you become lower and lower. You don't be arrogant, don't be proud. Don't look others with contempt. Don't look to others with scorn. So these are the last advices of Hazrat Luqman. A mature person. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Tar, it was a disease in the neck of the camels with which the neck was turned. So that there was a bending in the neck and the face of the camel was at an angle with the neck. In the same way, if a person is haughty and proud, he doesn't face others and you just, there is a bend in his neck. So that is actually, it's an allegory for something, for showing of pride, you know, and scorn for others. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Don't be scornful for others. And this is very important. Why? Because when a person has gone to this high level, that he is enjoining people towards good and forbidding them from bad, from evil, maybe that his nafs, now it has become fat, and it will be telling him that you are something very big, you are something very noble, you are at a very high station of moral, of morality, high level of morality. And this is the biggest harm that can come to a person, because now everything will be gone. This thing actually, this is a big zero, and any sum multiplied by zero becomes zero. All good deeds are gone. If there is ghurur, if there is takabbur, if you think yourself to be much high, if you think yourself to be much noble, to be very virtuous, these things, they take away all the reward of all the good deeds that you might have committed up till now. So Allah, may Allah save us from this eventuality and this bad end. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ بَرَحَا. And don't walk on the earth in a haughty way. Because in a gait also, in a person, it also tells, it's the, as you say, the face is the index of the mind. This gait is also an index of the thinking of the person. He is thinking something of himself. He is walking and he's you know, walking on the earth like a proud man. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرْحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Turn not thy cheek in scorn toward folk, nor walk with pertness in the land. Lo, Allah loveth not any braggart boaster. Fakur, who's boastful, who makes fakhr of anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And you know, mukhtal, mukhtal is from khail. Khail is the horse. If a high breed horse, you know, the gait of a horse, it has something, some majesty in it. So if you are walking like that, so it is ikhtiyal, it is from khail. So there should not be any signs of pride, any signs of thinking of yourself very high in your gait, in your attitude, in your behavior. Waqsid fi mashyik. Be modest in thy behavior. Mashyik, although it means walking, masha yamshi, to walk. But we use this word for general behavior in life also. It is all our chal. Chal, dhal, which we call. So actually the whole behavior in life, waqsid, be in a middle way. Not too extremes. There should be qasdu fil faqr wal ghina. You should have an average behavior, not to going to the extremes. Waqsid fi mashyik, waghdud min sawtik. and keep your voice low. What does it mean? It happens when you are arguing something with somebody, and if you think that your argument is going down, you are failing, then you raise your voice. To compensate for the weakness of the argument, a man generally raises his voice. Now, this is wrong. Don't try to compensate the weakness of your argument with the loudness of your voice. Otherwise, there are occasions when you have to speak loudly. And that is why I want to quote that the sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we have a very ahem and very important and very authentic hadith. This is from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He is the reporter of this hadith. And Imam Muslim rahimahullah has included it in his Sahih. And according to this hadith, إِذَا خَطَبَ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا خَطَبَ إِخْبَرَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ وَعَلَىٰ صَوْتُهُ وَاشْتَدَّ غَضَبُهُ. When the Prophet ﷺ used to deliver a sermon, usually his eyes became red, his voice became very loud, and it seemed that he is having an anger, he is angry. So, وَاشْتَدَّ غَضَبُهُ. That was the way he used to address the people. Just like the leader or the commander of an army, when he persuades his men to fight, charge. Actually, and when he says that the enemy is coming, charge. So the way he commands his people, his soldiers, his army, that was the way the Prophet ﷺ used to address the congregation. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِحْمَرَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ. His eyes used to become red. وَعَلَىٰ صَوْتُهُ. And his voice was raised. وَاشْتَدَّ غَضَبُهُ. He was in emotions. His sermon was used to be emotional type of sermon. Very living and pulsating type of sermon. So actually, there can be occasions when you have to use loud voice. But what is meant by Luqman here, that is, when you are arguing something with somebody and there is some dispute, don't raise your voice. Your argument should have the weight. It should carry the weight. Not that you should compensate the weakness of your argument with the loudness of your voice. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ الْحَبِيرِ. This is to prove that point, that because although the voice of ass and donkey when it is bragging, although it's very loud, but it's not pleasant. So actually, loud voice is not always pleasant. Maybe when there is a need of a loud voice, you use it. But don't think that loudness of a voice is some good quality of the voice itself. Here this passage, this ruku, this section number 2 of Surah Luqman ends. And now I have to make 2 points more. I have 10 minutes left with me. Number 1, why do I say that Hazrat Luqman was neither a prophet of Allah nor an ummati or follower of a prophet of Allah? This is a point that needs substantiation. The reason is, the basic terminology regarding the prophets and the things which can be known only through the prophets are not mentioned here. First of all, number 1, had he been a follower of a prophet, he would have asked his son to follow the prophet, to obey him. He would have mentioned the name of the prophet. No Muslim today, if he is giving any sermon, can omit the mention of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sermon. He will mention it. He will ask people and force people to follow him, to obey him. So there is no mention of any Nabi in the whole 8 ayat of this section. Number 2, the term Iman has not appeared. Iman is also connected with Nabi. When Nabi claims that I am Prophet of Allah and somebody accepts his claim, then this is called Iman. Tasdeeqo bima jaa bihi an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In terminology, this is the definition of Iman. Tasdeequl Nabi. When you have accepted the claim of a Nabi, it becomes Iman. In this whole section, the word Iman doesn't appear. Number 3, as we saw in Ayat al-Bir, I told you the angels, the books, the Anbiya, these 3 things go to make Iman bir risala. There is no mention of angels in this whole section. No mention of any book in this whole section. No mention of revelation. No mention of any Nabi, name of any Nabi, any messenger of Allah. And actually, for Iman bil Akhirah, there are certain things which can be known only through prophets. Resurrection, Ba'ath Ba'd al-Maut. Then Hashr al-Nashr, that you will have to be gathered at one place after resurrection. Then Jannah, paradise or heaven, and Nar, Jahannam. No mention of these things. Only the essential fact that human beings cannot go unrewarded. That has been said here. But nothing of the details. Ba'ath Ba'd al-Maut, Hashr al-Nashr, nothing of that sort. Not the balance, not the weighing of the deeds, not, you know, to the Jannah or to the Nar, to Jahannam, nothing of the mention. So actually, these things prove. And there is near consensus, I told you in my first lecture, that although Hazrat Ikramah, one of the Tabi'een, he holds the view that he was a Nabi. But he is never in the list of Anbiya prophets, he has never been included. And the general consensus is that he was not a Nabi. And the intrinsic proof and evidence in this passage, in this ruku also is to this effect that he was not a Nabi. Then what was he? And this is the last point of this lecture. Actually, you have after Anbiya, the second level of people who are mun'am alayhim, they are siddiqeen. مَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. These are the four cadres of people on whom Allah's grace has come. When we say in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Who are those people? مُنْعَمْ عَلَيْهِمْ. To whom the grace of Allah has come? There are four groups, مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Who are Siddiqeen? People whose intellect and nature is safe and pure, not polluted, not perverted. These people, under the guidance of their pure nature, when they think about and they use their reasoning and faculty of intellect, they reach the point of Tawheed. They reach in the knowledge of Ma'ad, and they know that good is good and evil is evil. There is a differentiation, and there will be result coming out of it. These things are within the reach of human intellect. Everybody can reach these things and can know these things without any wahi, without any nabi. And this is what happened, you know, to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. This is what happened to Hazrat Barqa ibn Nawfal. Who was he? Born in Makkah, the cradle of shirk. But he refrained from shirk. He went to Syria. He accepted Christianity. And he learned every language. Kana yaktumu Torata bil Ibraniya. He used to write Torah in Ibrani language, Hebrew language. And he was a muwahhid. So actually these people, although there was no wahi. The wahi had not started to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was another person, Abu Bakr. He was muwahid. Before the wahi started coming to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr was from the very beginning, he was muwahid. He never committed shirk, because shirk is against nature. Shirk is against human intellect. These human nature and intellect, they refrain from shirk. So actually such people always existed in this world, who by dint of their pure nature and by dint of their safe and pure intellect, they could reach Iman Billah with Tawheed. They could reach and they could attain Iman Bil Ma'ad or Iman Bil Akhirah. But for the Sharia, what to do, what not to do? This is the revelation which is necessary. And these subjects, inshallah, now we shall be discussing regarding Surah Al-Fatiha. Tomorrow we shall be studying Surah Fatiha. I am omitting the fourth lesson of this first part of this selected course of study. Those are the ayat of Hamim al-Sajda. That fourth lesson I will take, inshallah, after we finish the second part. Now I will be switching over from this third lesson to Surah Al-Fatiha, inshallah, tomorrow we shall begin our study of Surah Al-Fatiha, which is the integral and essential part of our prayer. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.